The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, it's Amanda Radke back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things to make this country stronger. Today's episode is a repost from when I was a guest on another podcast. The host's name is Katie Hoffman. She's from Western South Dakota. She's a homeschooling mother of five, almost six kids. And she started a page and a platform called Government Watch South Dakota. Katie asked me to be on her show to talk about the upcoming 2025 legislative session and what I see as a landowner involved in the carbon pipeline fight ahead for what's happening in the fight we have to maintain and protect our private property rights and bolster eminent domain reform going into this session. So there's a lot going on in South Dakota as Summit Carbon Solutions has reapplied with the Public Utilities Commission. We've had our first hearing here last week, and there's just a lot unfolding there. We also have the session kicking off mid-January, and with that, we have a landowner rally scheduled for January 13th at noon in the Capitol Rotunda building. Consider this your invite to be there and send a loud message to our legislators that we expect that eminent domain reform that we deserve, that we have a mandate for, as evidenced by our election results where we defeated RL-21 by a large, large margin. I also want to alert you guys, and it's in this episode, about the upcoming PUC and Summit public meetings that will be happening January 15th, 16th, and 17th across the state. So tune in, listen to this episode for all of the details. And I just want to encourage you guys to go check out Government Watch South Dakota on Facebook. You can also go to govwatchsd.org. And Katie does some incredible videos as a whistleblower, really exposing the corruption and darkness in our elected officials and our political system. So her videos are well worth the watch. We have a prison project that's proposed in the state of South Dakota as well that's raising a lot of eyebrows about what's really going on and what the true agenda is there as well. And so I would encourage you to go watch some of her videos. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to be inspired. And I just want to thank Katie for having me on her show. As a result, just a few days after this episode aired on her podcast, her Rumble stream, I should say, the mainstream media, Keloland News, picked it up and reported on literally everything that we had covered in this show. So when we the people become the news, it's an incredible thing to see. So with that, let's roll this episode out. Thank you again to Katie Hoffman for this great discussion. And here we go.
Okay, well, thanks for taking the time, obviously, to come on and do this. So you were saying, I wanted to get people just a quick, brief background for you, even though it seems like you're more well-known than I thought. So for city slickers like me, can you just kind of give us an idea of like your background real quick and how you came to be where you are right now?
Sure. So my name is Amanda Radke. My husband Tyler and I have a ranch north of Mitchell and lifelong South Dakotan, but my area of expertise is agricultural policy. So I travel the country speaking and then writing and reporting on issues that affect farm and ranch families.
You said that you eventually lost your job from what you were doing for a long time. And it was basically because you just kind of stood your ground on things, right?
Yeah. So I spent 15 years writing in for Ag Media, a national ag publication. And after following the 2020 election, I kind of got the screws turned on me, a little bit tightened on me that I couldn't write about policy issues because it related to Trump and Trump was triggering. And I've written about it. President since I started my career. And so that was kind of the beginning of the end, but it's been a blessing. Now I have I'm independent. I have a podcast called The Heart of Rural America that goes out every Wednesday and a syndicated column. The key difference is now I don't have sponsors or a publication that tell me what to say or what to write or what I can't say or write. So it's been very freeing and has opened up a lot of opportunities then for me to report honestly, in particular, this carbon pipeline fight that we're facing here in South Dakota.
Yeah. And that must make you quite the threat because you are free and independent and you don't have anyone over you telling you cannot say that or print that. I can see the pipeline people not happy about you.
Yeah. They can't get me fired, which is great. I can't be fired from myself, but it is notable. I think people should know. There are certain legislators that are pro-pipeline legislators that have harassed journalists in the states that have called the editors and the bosses at these publications and tried to get journalists fired or to the papers down because they don't like how the reporting has been on the pipeline. And quite frankly, the media has been very favorable to the pipeline. So I find it interesting when the voice of the people is now so strong, they don't like what's being written about them as politics. Mm-hmm. I am carefully documenting that. And one day I'm going to release all that information of who.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah. But my warning to them is just stop it. Stop it right now. Don't mess with the free press, freedom of speech, and 25-year-old writers who are just doing their jobs. Ridiculous. So
that is ridiculous. And you know, that's what's sick is that I've had local legislators here try to do that with me. Yeah. And I'm just like, seriously, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I really don't do much. I'm not a professional investigative journalist. I'm just exercising my First Amendment rights. Mary Fitzgerald actually tried calling me, telling me, stop making videos about me and stop using pictures of me and just stop talking about me. And I'm like, sorry, that's my constitutional right.
Yep.
But ever since the campaign funding, and I was showing her links, like she has legit donations directly from the pipelines, the PACs, etc. And yeah, she was not happy about that. So it's interesting how legislators, even though they take an oath to uphold the Constitution, they are more than happy to just stomp on our First Amendment rights whenever they want.
Yep. They're supposed to serve the people. And I've told people that transparency, like putting light, shining light on the dark corners of government can do a lot of good. And every single of us has that ability. You show up to a meeting with your phone and it's amazing what you can document. I did a Cracker Barrel meeting in District 19 with Drew Peterson during the legislative session. And I had my camera front row and I asked him a question about SB 201. And he said, are you recording? I'm like, yes, I'm recording. This is a public forum, but a lot of these legislators don't want to be caught on record saying things because they want to be able to go on the media and say their talking points that we all want to hear, but they don't want the general public to know what their actions and their voting records actually are. And so we have a lot of power as the people to just go out there and you don't have to spin it. You're telling the truth because the truth is documented on your phone.
I know, that's what's great. And it's so funny how much they hate it. They hate it so much. And I think it really scares them when we're just not intimidated anymore. And we're starting to know the scope of the First Amendment and how much freedom we really have to speak. And it's funny to see how terrified they're getting on all of that stuff. And it's like, this is just the Constitution, guys. It shouldn't be a big deal.
Accountability and transparency in government.
Yeah.
problem is.
Yeah, like they are just like, this is revealing. This is kind of concerning when you guys all claim to be Republicans, yet you are very threatened by basic constitutional rights.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So then when it comes to this whole, the whole committee thing going on, I just noticed like you and I were having a back and forth on Facebook, and it seemed like you and I might've been on the same page with things. And I'm coming from, I really don't know all the ins and outs yet, but I just didn't think that these people we fought so hard for, and they also fought hard with us, like Chris Carr. I'm like, I just don't see them just completely nuking the political ground they made. And I would think that they actually see the writing on the wall when it came to how everybody, like the constituents across South Dakota, reacted when it came to 201. So I just kept telling people, I think there's just more going on behind the scenes than we know. People are sick of the political games that have to be played. And I'm like, I am too. I hate it. I wish we could just get in there and get work done. But I just think there's more going on, and this stuff has to be played out like this. So do you, with your experience, can you maybe shed some light on what you might know on this whole thing and the process of these committees and what they have to go through?
Sure. You know, to give a little background on this and this fight and how we've gotten to this point, this has been almost 4 years of landowners fighting Summit Carbon Solutions and Navigator. And it relates to what's, you know, West River too, because really private companies are being invited into the state of South Dakota, where our motto is we're open for business. And our message always been, we may be open for business, but we are not for sale. And under the guise of economic development and value-added agriculture, just because a big corporation could come in and increase the tax base doesn't mean that they should have access to we the people and our land and our private property and our backyards. And so this pipeline project really sets a precedent for much to come that would impact the entire state, your ability to maintain your land and your private property as you see fit without the threats of it being stolen away from you.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus. With its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract, BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless. But to bring you up to speed, 2024 was a big year for our fight. So just briefly, I'd like to lay out the victories and why I feel confident going into 2025 in the session, despite, you know, the conversations happening online right now. The year started out with, we took a devastating blow as we watched SB 201 go through the House and the Senate and be signed by the governor. We had landowner rallies where hundreds and hundreds of people would show up. We crammed every single committee hearing on this with hundreds of landowners driving in blizzards to go testify. We were chastised. We were treated terribly. One committee hearing, I was actually scolded in front of the like 250 people about my testimony. And then the entire crowd was also yelled at for clapping for my testimony.
Oh my gosh.
And yet the lobbyists, I mean, Summit and the ethanol lobby, they were slick and polished in their fancy suits. They were treated like the red carpet was rolled out. I mean, they were treated like royalty. And we, the people, were treated absolutely horribly. And, you know, it got to the end and we some of the best speeches I've ever heard were from the constitutional conservatives that stood up and stood up for the landowners and the private property rights of the people. And yet this whole thing got crammed through, got called this landowner bill of rights. They slapped lipstick on this pig and they were like, there you go. And, you know, you had Will Mortensen and Crabtree talking about all these protections and things that were going to come for the people. And thankfully, the people of South Dakota saw right through it. And so what happened next, I can only say it was God's divine intervention helping we the people. So 38,000 signatures were turned in to refer this law that we now know as Referred Law 21. And that was all done by 500 unpaid volunteers that went and collected these signatures. Yes. And then, of course, we the people voted on it. And 65 of 66 counties rejected Referred Law 21, the Landowner Bill of Rights. Yes. And we won 59%. Of the vote. So there's a very clear mandate in the state of South Dakota that we the people value local control. We want private property rights and we don't want eminent domain for private gain. But the other big story was that 201 became the defining topic, I believe, for the election. So in the primary, we voted out 14 incumbents and people that had voted for SB 201. We replaced them with servant leaders who had vowed to stand up for private property rights. And then the general election came. And of course, we got even a few more into the mix, great people that were on our side. And then the latest big victory was the leadership vote. And we were able to oust Crabtree and Mortensen from their spots. They were the big proponents of 201. And we've replaced them now with John Hansen and Chris Carr. And so all those victories leading into 2025, now, instead of having to dismantle 201, like it had actually gone into law in July, like it was supposed to, now that's done. It's over. We've kept our local control, which is important because now that Summit Carbon Solutions has reapplied, literally in the text of their application, it has basically the text verbatim of what 201 referred law 21 is. And their ask of the PUC. Wow. Is we want you to override the counties that have done the setbacks. And we want, and that was the entire thing of RL21 was,
oh my gosh,
our local control. So this was monumental. And I just want to take this moment, just thank everyone across the state for recognizing what a big deal this was. And that it really wasn't just about a pipeline. It was about our private property rights across the board. So you sent a very loud message that, hey, we the people want to safeguard this. We consider this to be sacred and we're not going to put up with this. So thank you. So now going to answer your question, now that we get to the 25 session. Oh, one more victory we had. The South Dakota Supreme Court ruled that Summit Carbon Solutions is not a common carrier or a commodity. And so that they wouldn't be eligible for eminent domain. They would not be able to illegally survey people's lands like they did to Jared Bosley. And if folks don't know his story, they need to Google his name and they need to see what Summit did to this.
Yeah, that was sick. So I just wanted to make sure I understand then. So the Supreme Court, with that ruling, it's specifically then the victory for that for the landowners is they just can't come on illegally without your permission. So that's what gives them that victory then for that one there.
Yes. So Jared, right. I mean, they drove through his pastures and fields. Ran over trees and crops. They bore a 90-foot hole in the ground, which is interesting for a 4-foot pipeline project. Mm-hmm. They wanted to put the sludge from the soil into the ditch. That's how they wanted to handle it. Even this year, as Jared was harvesting, he sent me a Snapchat, and that spot where they drilled, it was bare. Not a weed, nothing grew there. It's impacted his family. It's impacted his kids. They don't feel safe in their home because Summit came into Jared's house while his wife was alone in the shower alone. And she heard Summit in the kitchen walking through her house.
What? I did not know that.
Yes. And then when they came and surveyed, they had guns on their hips. They had armed security that surrounded the whole section where Jared's house was at with scopes, you know, watching things going. It was like, it was an invasion.
Sick.
So what's really interesting is in that package of carbon pipeline bills, Will Mortensen had carried a bill called 1185. There was 1185, mm-hmm. 1186. That one particular bill is unconstitutional. It legalized trespassing. So basically what it did was you would get, if you told Summit or any company, no, thank you, I don't want you to survey, Will's solution was that we would get $500 as a, so it's basically like, well, it legalized trespassing. It's basically like if a Girl Scout came to your door and was like, I want you to sell cookies to me or whatever, buy cookies. And you'd be like, no, thank you. And then they come in the back door, sit at your dining room table and say, no, you can buy these cookies, you know? But unfortunately, a challenge in the court would need to be done to prove that it's unconstitutional. But the South Dakota Supreme Court ruled that that was unconstitutional.
Well, that's good.
Now we have a rule that's in the books that's like, you know, and a lawyer like Will Mortensen should know that. And yet that's what he did.
Well, that's what boggles my mind. It's just like, how do these types of unconstitutional bills even make it out of committee? It should just be burned and thrown in the garbage because it's not constitutional. Well, I mean, it blows my mind.
The thing I noticed in Pierce when we would, you know, you could argue the environmental, the Green New Deal or the safety of this pipeline, but we always stuck to the Constitution. And some of these legislators would like roll their eyes like, oh, that the Constitution, what does that mean? That's everything. That's your job. Even just as an example, RL21 had A through M amendments and they crammed as much into it as they possibly could. Like it was a DC style bill with a ton of pork in it. And it had multiple topics, even in the title, like people, how do you even know what you're voting on? And per our South Dakota Constitution, a bill is supposed to have one topic. That should be a pretty easy rule to follow. So they knew what they were doing as what was wrong. That was, you know, a summit prioritized bill that they wanted all these special things. And thankfully we, the people, you know, were smart enough to figure out that what they were selling us was a bill of sale, not a bill of rights for the people.
Well, and that has deeply, deeply concerned me. The more I've, I guess you could say, woken up the last few years, realizing how important the Constitution is. And then all these people who tout themselves as great Republicans, great conservatives, even I love Trump, but you talk to them about the Constitution and even just the basics of First Amendment rights, just like here in my hometown, even they'll just be like, just stop talking about it. Just stop bringing it up. Yeah. I'm like, you guys don't understand how important this is. And you're on the city council or you're this great conservative, but the Constitution is just, it doesn't matter to you. I don't know.
People won't understand the weight of the Constitution until we no longer have it. Like it's
exactly.
The Constitution is only worth the piece of paper it's written on if we don't actually apply it to how we live. And it should be. I'm certain half the legislators in Pierre have never even read it. They probably slept through history class in high school because it's like you're speaking a foreign language. And I'm like, literally, this is like base level stuff, guys. Like, but
exactly.
You know, and an oath on a Bible kind of means something to me. But
you would think it would to them too. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but anyway, so as to answer your original question, going into the session, you know, I'm confident. John Hansen has spoke at our rallies. He debated on the House side. He debated Elizabeth Burns Thompson, of Navigator early on. And Navigator, of course, packed up their bags and called it quits in South Dakota. He's been a strong champion for landowners for many years. And then Chris Carr, you know, he voted our way on 201. He spoke at a RL21 panel this summer in Sioux Falls, and he was very well read up on the topic. He's stated repeatedly on Dakota News Now and other interviews, like, I'm against eminent domain use for carbon pipelines. And we're going to address, the two things he has said is private property rights and property taxes in the legislature. Like, it's very clear to me the land is going to be a big discussion in this session. The legislators know that there's a clear mandate that the people, that's what they want. Mm-hmm. And if you're a smart politician, you can see the political winds. It's not a good idea to go against the landowners right now. But that being said, politics is still politics. And I know that careful strategy or careful decision-making was made to make those committees the way they could and to do the best they can. Crabtree being the chairman of Commerce and Energy, it's concerning because, of course, he was the proponent of SB 201. And most of the pipeline bills went through that committee. So I can appreciate citizens paying attention to be like, I'm going to raise an eyebrow on that. And yet I know that there's bigger things at play. And I think now there's a lot that we can do between now and the kickoff of the session that can actually set the tone for what we want to get accomplished and not just throw grenades at a guy before we know the full picture or what the plans are, you know, moving forward to get these bills across the finish line.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too, because I'm trying to think the best and just be like, I think there's just more going on. I don't think he would be a sellout this quickly. Let's just wait and see what happens because, yeah, the session hasn't even started yet. Maybe there's more going on that we don't know about. So, like, I've been told that, like, the bills that will come forward don't necessarily have to go through a specific committee. Like, they can kind of, and I don't know how it all works.
Yeah.
So if that does happen, like, who gets to decide which bill goes to whatever committee?
I believe Carr and Hansen could kind of dictate the direction of those bills. I can't say one way or another where those eminent domain bills would end up. Maybe it'd be Commerce Energy. Maybe it'd be State Affairs. I also do think that legislators are a little more tuned in to this issue. I have a feeling there's a few members of that committee that would not vote for 201 again if they, you know, now that they can see the picture, that they've more come our way. I would be the first person to sound the alarm if I was like really overtly concerned. But right now, you know, I feel like it's more important to continue to build our tent and bring more people to the picture, which RL21 did. It helped us to share our story across the state, but people are aware of what's going on. And yes, like observing what's going on, demanding transparency and accountability and just kind of watching and seeing what happens, I think is important. But throwing grenades at friendly leaders, friendly elected officials, I don't think that helps us accomplish what we want to accomplish. And I mean, I'm razor focused on that. I don't want 10 years to fix eminent domain reform. I want it to be in 2025. This is not going to happen again in the state of South Dakota to anybody. I've had people say, we just want this to be over so Amanda Radke will go back home to her kids and cows. And I'm like, trust me, I also want that. So, but I'm not going home till this is done. So
it's so funny. I've had people tell me that too. It's like, just stop, go get a day job. And I'm like, well, I just can't yet. So,
You know, apathy is what's got us here.
Yes.
But like, we're just going to mind our own business. We're going to elect our legislators and hope they do the best. And it's like, that has allowed for a lot of bad stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A, Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it.
You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here, and I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt exactly as nature made it. It contains 60-plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKE to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
Yeah, like just voting R on everything on the ballot or whatever, like that's not, it's not going to make the cut anymore. No. And I think that's been the biggest thing. People were just like, what? I thought they were Republicans. I said, that doesn't matter. Labels don't matter anymore. You really have to look at their voting record and their actions and everything.
Yep. And just because they say one thing on TV and sound really, really good does not mean that their actions match their words. So you do have to pay attention. And yeah, but I do think South Dakota, I travel the country and people ask, how are you guys doing this in South Dakota? What's your secret? And the only thing I can think of is that, like, the more we fight, the more people come on board, and people, for some reason, they're just not getting tired. Like, they're in it for the long haul. Especially in this pipeline thing, we've become just like this family. I've met some of the best people that are true patriots that care about the Constitution. They care about their neighbors and their communities. And like, Summit Carbon Solutions is an awful company, but I'll thank them for one thing, is that I have met the very best people that live not too far down the road from me that I never would have met otherwise. So,
oh yeah, I know. I hear you on that. Just me, what I'm doing, which I'm like, sometimes I don't even know what it is I do. But just meeting the people statewide, I'm like, there are so many awesome, amazing South Dakotans that I wouldn't have met otherwise.
Yep.
So it's like, well, thanks for waking me up, government.
Yep. So
we can meet first, all these awesome people.
First, you did us dirty, but now great friends while we clean up the mess, you know?
I know. It's like, we'll give credit where it's due. That's fine. So you were talking earlier how, okay, so we have all of the votes. Like, the legislature voted for who they want in these leadership positions, but it wasn't set yet. Is that right?
Yes.
So once the legislative session starts, that's when everything is.
Yep. They'll be confirmed by the whole floor, basically. So this was caucus leadership, you know, just the Republicans were kind of picking their own and the Democrats, you know, their own leadership, that kind of thing. And then it'll be official in January.
Okay. I didn't know that. I thought it was like, oh, they did all this and this is set in stone and it's good to go. So I didn't know they actually still have to go through this then.
I think it's very rare that the results would change, but, you know, crazier things have happened, I suppose.
True.
But yeah, but I am very confident. I feel like we've got Carla Lems, who is just an incredible fighter. She's the first female speaker pro tem on the House, and she's an absolute champion for private property rights. I mean, we've got Scott Odenbach. We've got some real, really strong voices, I think.
Yeah.
That, you know, I sleep a little easier at night just seeing the makeup of the legislature kind of changing. In fact, I think after the primary, one of the papers reported it as like, I don't know if they called it an earthquake and that happened here. And I was like, yeah, it's so cool to see. So
it is, like, it was a huge upset that I think people weren't really expecting.
I will say, you know, following the election, and people are so happy that Trump has won and they feel like they got the good guys in Pierre. And I see this mentality of like, oh, now we can relax. And it's like, no, I don't feel that way. I feel like now is the time to go on the offense. Like, if you really mean what you say, now's the time to get the things done we need to get done, because power is hard to hang on to. Also, and so this is a really great opportunity for change on a whole lot of issues that are important to the people that would have been shut down solidly.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was noticing, too. And I mean, I think we're all just like dying for some sort of break. Like, can we just please mentally, emotionally just relax after how many years? And I just keep thinking, no, I don't think so. I think it's, we finally gained the high ground just a little bit. And so this is our chance, and you have to keep pushing.
Yep.
You have to stay involved. You have to keep going.
You do. Well, in our case, in this pipeline, our victory was so short-lived because the day after the election, Summit had said, we're going to reapply November 19th, you know, and then of course they did. But that brings me to, I do want to make sure people know about this. So now that Summit has reapplied, we have an opportunity where you can apply to be an intervener. So on the PUC website, you can go watch the filing and the proceedings. Now, in order for you to be kind of updated on things, applying to be an intervener gives you that party status so that you can have, you know, a voice at the table so that you can be updated as it goes on. The PUC will be holding 6 informational meetings starting in January. Of course, it's ironic, but it's going to be the same time as the first week of the session. So all those great legislators won't be able to go to these meetings. But just a quick rundown, January 15th, the PUC has a meeting with Summit Carbon Solutions in Sioux Falls and Mitchell. And then the next day, January 16th, it's Watertown and DeSmit. And then the 17th, yes, 15th, 16th, 17th is Redfield and Aberdeen. On the things that we can do while we wait for the 2025 legislative session, we the people have plenty of work to do. Apply to be an intervener. Last time around, there was 400 people on that list. Jeez. It'd be great to be 1,000. Yeah. Apply to be an intervener. Try to make it to one of these summit application, you know, events where it's open to the public, and by golly, open your phone up and record it when you go.
Yeah.
And then we are also going to have, to kick off the legislative session, I'd like to invite all your listeners. We're going to have a landowner rally on January 13th. That's the day before the session kicks off, at noon in the Rotunda in Pier. So we really want to just like set the tone of the session of, we have a mandate. The Supreme Court is with us on this. This company doesn't have an application. Nothing has changed now that we've rejected SB 201. And we the people, now with this clear mandate, we want eminent domain reform. We want true private property protections. We want to make sure every citizen in South Dakota feels safe and secure on their own land without some private company coming in and taking over where they don't belong.
That'd be awesome. I really want to come to those things, although I'll be like 2 weeks out from having my baby, so...
We'll have to see, but I'm just like, happen. Call it a homeschool day, kids, you know?
Seriously, I do. I want to take them so bad. And I'm just like, oh, January, worst month to be traveling across the state with a newborn, but it'd be so fun.
Yeah, I know. It does get really hard. And I tell people that too, like no one person can be everywhere. So it's easy to be like, oh, they got it, you know, but it's like, it takes, If you're gonna make change, you got to bring your neighbors, your friends with you. You've got to show up. But burnout is real too, because there's a lot going on, from county commission meetings to school board meetings to what's happening here, or even DC. It's impossible. But I do believe the good Lord puts you where you need to be. And if you're walking in obedience and answer the call, He'll tell you where you need to go and what you need to focus on.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I agree there. And it's just so cool to see, like, I don't know, the uprising in a really good way in South Dakota. And like what people are saying, SB 201 was what got people off the couch. And that's kind of what I was waiting for, is like across the country over the however many years, it's always been these little, like these certain things that got people fired up. And it seemed like for us here in South Dakota, North Dakota, Iowa, it's been this property rights pipeline deal. Which I'm like, hey, I'll take whatever it is. I'm still waiting for West River to kind of, come on, guys, let's go here.
Yeah. But, well, so my plea to West River is, there's this national corridor happening where it's like a 60-foot wide path, and you've got potential wind turbines and solar panels coming out there. Like, imagine Western South Dakota, this beautiful prairie, being covered in miles of solar panels, and you have like it's coming. This just sets a, in fact, Will Mortensen said on the House floor, he said, this bill is important because it sets the stage for 50 plus years of projects. So if it's not in your back door yet, it's coming. And I mean, we have people in North Dakota and Iowa that are, they're not having the success that we're having in South Dakota. And they're, I mean, they're talking to us constantly of like, we're counting on you. We need you. So whether we like it or not, South Dakota is the point of the spear in this. And what happens now, what I believe what happens in 2025 will determine what this state looks like in the next 50 years. It's big. It's huge. And so, yeah, I would encourage, I would say there's no one grittier and more determined and independent than like a West River cowboy. And but most of them want to be left alone, right? But there's going to come a time when you're not left alone, because your land is everything. And there's people, there's bad forces that want that leverage. They want land. They want to open the door to that. And they're willing to do a lot of things to get it. Land is worth fighting for, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's funny what you say about the West River Cowboy. Here in Butte County, all north of us, like the northern half of Butte County, basically, is all those greedy cowboys. And our county commission... it's a mess, but it's funny because if they know, if they bring up anything like zoning in Butte County, they've said, those guys are going to come to the courthouse with pitchforks. We are not going to, you know, don't mess with them. And I was thinking too, you know, Travis Ismay, he got in as a legislator for us in our district. And I'm so excited because he's one of those cowboys. And he is like that. He is like, you don't mess with him. And he's so bold and has such integrity on this stuff. And I'm like, I'm glad that we're finally getting some representation like that.
Yes.
For Butte County and our district versus what we had before, which was sad and pathetic. So,
well, and
I'm
I have to give him special credit too, because at the very end of our All 21 campaign, when there were the other side was calling us, you know, Jane Fonda liberals and all these things, he helped us with a text campaign and helped us get the message out and defend ourselves. But he's plugged into this fight just as much as anybody. And, you know, it's just really brought good people together. But he was one of those fighters when push came to shove and we were on a deadline with no money. He helped us to get that across the finish line. So I appreciate him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, he'll always call himself, I'm just a dumb farmer. I'm like, Travis, no, you're not.
Me too.
It's like, you know, well, like, well, I'm just a homeschooled stay-at-home mom, but God calls all of us instead of the bigwigs. But it's just like what you were saying. I'm just thinking, it's not just the pipeline, East River guys. They're going to eye West River for something. Like, they're not going to stop. We have to get up off the couch now before it's too late. We don't want to be where Jared Bosley was, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think so many people here, it's like, well, it'll never happen here.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. It's West River. We're nothing. Yep. And I'm like, clearly all of this open prairie is going to serve for something. And we already have those windmill things in certain places north of Butte. I'm like, do you guys really want to have that all over the place? It's already starting.
Right, right. Well, the whole thing that I've contended too is like, we're supposed to be a red conservative state, and yet these Republicans have fallen all over themselves over the Green New Deal and the Inflation Reduction Act because there's money to be made. So it's like funny, like it wasn't that long ago we were all making fun of AOC and her farting cows and the Green New Deal until they threw enough money at Republicans. And then it was like, oh, I guess I can get in on the grift. I can try to change the climate and bury carbon. We've openly had people on the other side. They've told me, Amanda, we know this is a joke, but it's the reality. There's money to be made. So that's the other thing. Wow. I think if people have any ability to pressure or communicate with Trump, you know, the last time around, it was the people he surrounded himself with that I think became problematic at times. And, you know, now we see that Governor Noem and then Governor Burgum both have been plugged into this carbon pipeline and this whole carbon capture thing on his cabinet. It's problematic because is he hearing the right story? I am very hopeful that he will gut the Inflation Reduction Act. And there's a big lobby right now to keep those 45Z and Q tax credits because that's where all the money is for these boondoggles. I'm hoping he'll gut that thing. And I cannot wait till the day that we can stand on the steps of the Capitol and peer and say, it's official. The Green New Deal is dead in South Dakota.
Right.
I mean, that's what I'm waiting for. Yeah. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful on that.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. A lot of people are not fans of Trump for various reasons. And this is one of them. But I'm like, I think that's another thing. There's probably a lot going on in the background we don't see. you know, like, I'm just going to trust it. Cause it's like, yeah, maybe he'll have something with the pipelines, but I highly doubt he would be one to allow all the unconstitutional stuff going on, especially when he keeps pointing to the Constitution a lot in various subjects.
Well, good news came out today from Reuters that the Biden administration will not finalize the clean fuel tax credit. So that's part of the Inflation Reduction Act. And that was supposed to Yes. So that tax credit was supposed to take effect on January 1st as part of Biden's climate plan. But Trump has vowed to get rid of it. Like, I think we're just all waiting on bated breath because we've always contended we would not even be talking about this stupid project of burying carbon, the building block of life, into a pipe if it wasn't for all that money coming from the federal government. So if that
goes away. Sick.
Yeah. So like this week alone, it's interesting. Wolf up. Pipeline project out of Iowa, they pulled the plug on their project. And then Project Tundra in North Dakota, which was going to capture carbon at a coal plant, they both like exited, like stopped their plans. So I think people are seeing writing on the wall, like this business plan is not really secure without Biden's climate agenda. And there might be no pathway forward. I mean, I'm always, I'm always a little skeptical of like, what do they know that we don't? Or, you know, what other project is going to gobble up all these easements that have been signed? But
true. Well, I guess I was just thinking like, that's got to be a green flag if they're doing that before Trump is even in office. I mean, if they had a feeling or if they had some inside knowledge that Trump was going to support it, they wouldn't be pulling out, right?
I would think so. It is comforting that Vivek Ramaswamy and Kennedy are both, you know, kind of cabinet picks or in his sphere because Vivek has spoke at pipeline landowner events. And then Kennedy had a documentary come out like a month before the election on the pipeline deception. And so some of the people on the cabinet get it. And so I think it's critical. I guess I'm kind of on a wait and see there too, because it's like which voices are going to influence Trump the most. Like, does he understand what's going on here? But
I would think he does. I'm like, Trump isn't that stupid. If he was going to completely support pipeline stuff, why would he bring Kennedy on, who's so outspoken about it, you know?
right.
So I don't know, like, that's kind of how I'm thinking all the time. Like, this wouldn't make sense here. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm always just thinking on this stuff.
Well, I also learned recently that, like, so wind and solar and all these alternative energies are so heavily subsidized, but now the government is even like subsidizing coal as the backup, because of course those options fail. And I'm like, how about the government stop subsidizing all of it and let the free market decide? Because at the end of the day, all that subsidy is doing is making our energy prices so much higher. And, you know, it's like, just like, I want America first energy and food policy more than anybody. And like, but this is not doing it. It's a grift. And these, even wind turbines in general, I mean, they require more energy, more fuel, more oil than they ever
produce.
It's just, and it
frustrates me to a million.
It ruins the prairie, quite frankly. It ruins the prairie. So,
I know. I agree. And I'm just like, this is such a joke. And I like, anybody that talks to me about economic development, I hate it. I hate it so much. And it's like, how much could we save on just on cutting taxes, just getting rid of economic development and these subsidizing stuff? Like, it drives me insane.
And that's one thing, like, when I would go testify in Pierre, they'd try to paint me as like anti-agriculture, anti-ethanol, and like a crazy fringe liberal. And I was like, I'm a multi-generational farmer rancher. Like, I deeply respect the land and care about the future of farming and ranching. But I'm also a free market capitalist and a patriot. And like, I don't believe the government should pick winners and losers in business. You know, make the rules fair and then let the free market decide who the great entrepreneurs are. And but it's funny, people have learned how to farm the government more than they know how to farm, you know, their own businesses. So, I've said many times too, like, weak men build their business plans based on a handout versus someone that's strong. I don't think they like it, but you know, strong independent people build their businesses not on fleeting sand that can be taken away, but on real tangible things that. You know, so the fact that our government often paints these economic development projects and value-added ag projects is like, we're going to save the family farm and ranch. I've said many times, if that was true, then why are so many family farms and ranches going out of business and being replaced with out-of-state corporate dairy and other things? Like, if you were actually effective at the money you're using, our money that you're using, then every rural main street in South Dakota would be bustling and booming with small businesses. You'd have cattle and farms all across that are now being consolidated and sold, and young people aren't getting back into agriculture. So frankly, I think the grift is up. I think our government has gotten too big and they've sold us a bill of goods that are a lie. I think it's time, as we head into this 2025 session, I think it's time to change the tone of all of that.
Oh yeah. And I think, like, I interviewed a rancher here, Bill Cluck, about, he's like, I need to talk about this. And he was talking about what he discovered with what they were doing with property assessments, with pasture ground, cropland, and what they did with property taxes. So they would just assess it as, well, it has the potential to make this much, and so we're going to tax that. And he's like, I can't, it's not usable, but you're putting it in this awesome rich category for cropland, and it's not. It's Butte County. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and that's how nobody can get into this industry. Nobody can afford it because the property taxes just kill us.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting and terrifying at the same time. He's like, this is how they're controlling the global food supply at the local level. And I thought, I don't know if I wanted to know that, but
you know, like he who controls the land controls the food, and who controls yep. the food controls the people. And the easiest way to control the land is to tax it to death, to trample on your private property rights. Like, and it's funny, we need all this money for a big fancy prison, and yet revenue is down, and the property tax relief that we were promised, it's going to be quite interesting. I think that's an issue where a lot of people need to get pretty vocal on it, because mm-hmm. I mean, people, the what they have to pay in property tax is just, it's putting sick. People out of their homes.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so sick. And I don't get the whole prison thing. It boggles my mind, like this obsession with new prisons across the state. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Jensen said the amount of money they want for that one prison by Sioux Falls would be enough to update all the prisons needed in South Dakota. But she wants it just for this one. Almost and like the current prison is fine.
It's almost like we're not getting the full story, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was weird. Like when I was talking to Kevin Jensen about it, he's like, this just doesn't make sense. We don't get any answers. They won't ask. They won't talk to us or be transparent. They're just locked down. We want it here. And he's like, I don't know. But yeah, like you said, there's something more here, and it's really weird.
And you know, as you drive through Lincoln County, it is absolutely devastating. There's a sign on every corner related to either the carbon pipeline or the prison about no eminent domain. And it's like, these people are just living in absolute limbo, wondering, like, I've met people that have built brand new homes that are now going to be, you know, within a stone's throw away from this prison. And it's like, it's going to devastate this community. And it's just, it really feels like the government against the people. Again, it just highlights, it's like the gun range in Western South Dakota. Like mm-hmm. it's not going to bring jobs. It's not going to bring revenue. It's competing with private gun ranges. It's right next to a Christian run ranch for kids. But yet it's like, we're going to have this, you know?
Like, yeah, it's weird. It's yeah. so weird. And that when it came to the local control thing too, called, was that another one when I was talking to Kevin Jensen about it? That he was said it was something like, huh?
I said that was a good episode, by the way. I enjoyed it.
Oh, you watched it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think it was him that was saying, like, the state said, well, when it came to the county local control, well, we give you guys that power anyway, so we can take it back when we want. And I just thought, what? Like, that's how you guys are getting around this? Like, well, we give it to you, so be grateful. And then we can just put this prison wherever we want. We don't have to go through the county stuff, like the planning board or whatever.
Yep.
Because we're the state. So, and that just...
That sentiment was repeated to us a lot in this pipeline fight too, is we're not taking away your local control because you never had it in the first place.
And I mean, that's terrifying.
Like, yeah. I mean, there's 300 county commissioners for a reason. What do we have them for then? You know, and they like decisions are made best close to home. And and some of these projects, I think they can just bully and beat up the townships and the counties. And I think people are finally figuring out, no, this is important. And I can go to my county commission meetings. I know these people. I can plead a concern I have instead of, let's consolidate all the power to peer where a few bureaucrats are making the decisions for, you know, blanket things for everybody from Kadoka to Sioux Falls, which are all very different, you know, needs and desires and plans. I think a constant vigilance of trying to maintain that local control is going to be applicable for so many issues.
Oh yeah. Forward. And that's another thing learning, like as Republicans, like you said, oh, we're supposed to be this deep red state. And yet all these Republicans who should know better, you know, what I learned is the Republican Party is set up in a way where the people at the lowest levels direct the party, while the Democrat Party is different. But you guys are acting just like the Democrat Party. Like, we're actually trying to get involved like we should have been as Republicans. And you guys just hate it so much, trying to shut it down, change the Republican Party. You're acting like Democrats when it comes to local control. Yep. I mean, and then they're all mad that we don't back them because they're Republicans and we should automatically. Like, What reality are you guys living in right now?
To me, it's not like picking a NFL football team where I'm just like a ride or die fan for life. Yeah. No, I believe in the party platform, and I'd like exactly. to also respect and follow the platform.
Yes.
I say they stand for.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, our GOP had to go so far as to take the platform off of the like homepage of their website, I think. Like they put it on the way back somewhere over here. And I thought, wow, that reveals a lot.
We just wear the red and call ourselves Republicans when it's convenient.
Yeah, it's like, we're Republicans, look at us. It's like, no, you're not.
No.
So then just to conclude, so you're pretty positive things are going to be okay, despite all the stuff being said about Chris Carr, that he's a sellout, we're screwed, all this stuff, right? You seem pretty confident, calm. I mean, you act a lot like Trump. Despite all this stuff going on, people are like, Trump is always so calm. And so I figured, like, hey, if she's relaxed, I'm relaxed.
I'm a fiery cowgirl and a mom of four. I don't pull too many punches. I don't suffer fools too much. But I would say I'm not calm, probably isn't the right word, but I feel like the people have done the work that we need to do to set the stage for what we want to accomplish. And I think at this moment, it's important to be just steady and resolute, firm, and communicating the things that we need, but not being so quick to jumping the gun or making assumptions of a bigger picture that maybe we cannot see as citizens. I think this story will continue to unfold. I think we need to have a huge presence in peer as these bills are coming. We need to pack the house in those committee meetings because it's hard to ignore 300 plus people sitting in a room. Of course they did last year. They ignored us, but I have a feeling we have their attention now. And I believe it just be steady, tell the truth, show up, be clear in your requests. And, you know, we're going to keep fighting this thing till the end, however long it takes. But the knee jerk reactions, that's happened a lot over this fight over the last 3-4 years. So we've seen a lot of it, but I think what makes us successful is it's a bipartisan effort of South Dakota citizens who really care about their communities and their land and their families. And that's not going to change anytime soon. And we get stronger by the day. We're united. Right. We care about each other, and we're in this for however long it takes.
Regardless of how it looks like optically, do you feel pretty confident that people like Chris Carr, John Hansen, and those others, that even though this looks kind of weird with who he named for these certain committees, he is still very aware and cognizant of the citizens of South Dakota. Like, he's not just brushing all of us aside. He's probably very much aware what could happen.
Well, unfortunately, some of these attacks that have been directed at Senator Carr, they've just extended beyond what is even appropriate, like text to his neighbors, kids, friends, you know, like just kind of doxing him. That's just not who I want to be. I speak daily with the landowner group, which, I mean, we're just very loosely affiliated, but none of them really condone that type of behavior either. And, you know, he's been with us by every indication. And in fact, when you post this episode, I'll make sure to share a live feed of Chris when he spoke with us in Sioux Falls on RL21. Yeah. He was in the middle of a huge campaign for himself, and he took the time to show up to that event. He was very well versed. And I mean, listen to his statements yourself, and you can decide for yourself. I think whether they're good or bad or on our side or not, it's good to communicate what we need and not to necessarily just relax and be like, oh, they've got it. I mean, they need help. Yeah. They need support. They need to know that this is the will of the people. By every indication, I trust the new leadership. And quite frankly, that's what we have. You know, we had no shot last year. No shot. We have a real shot now. And so I think we need to make the most of it.
Yeah. And just not jump to conclusions just yet. Let's just. Yep.
I love the passion, you know, like I think Will Mortensen described us as the not in my backyard club. And I think he meant it as an insult, but I'm kind of like, yeah, Will, not in my backyard. You're absolutely right, you know, but he says that we're anti, you know, progress and all these things. And again, the message is, build your businesses, create those economic opportunities, but not at the expense of the individual, because that's what the Constitution demands of our elected officials. You do not throw the individual over for the good of all. And this is not for the good of all. It's for the good of specific investors. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Which again, should be kind of obvious, but it's funny how they try to paint us and gaslight us as, you know, anti-progress and all these things.
Yep. Yep. And you know, I think too, there was one more update. I think people should know is just, it was December 3rd that this issue was back in the courts up by Jared Bosley, where they're challenging the Supreme Court's ruling that it's a commodity or common carrier. They took it back, even though the South Dakota Supreme Court has ruled twice now, like, no, this is how we think. They're taking it now back to the lower courts. The judge determined that the case wouldn't be dismissed, but it would be delayed. So that won't come until September. And then the other thing people should know is that the PUC has a full year to decide on this permit application of Summit's. And so for sure, we have a year fight, and it'll just be interesting to see what 2025 brings.
I'm very curious. It's going to be a wild year, I think. And we started all off with the legislative
left alone. But we won't. When Summit packs up their bags and says, well, South Dakota was not the place to do business, then maybe we'll have a barn party at my house and everyone can come. So,
oh, heck yeah. There's so many parties people talk about. Like, when this is done, we're going to get together. I'm like, I'm going to be busy going to so many dang parties across South Dakota. It's going to be fun.
Yep. Yep. And but that's the thing. We do need to take time. You know, we did just have a celebration in Pierre, an RL21 celebration. At first I thought like, oh, I'm so tired of like going places. I just want to be home with the kids. Like, this isn't like the fight, but it was really good to just get together with people and just acknowledge, wow, we did something huge in this state that got national attention, and it totally changed the tone of this entire state, of the legislators, of, I mean, it's amazing what we, the people, can do when we work together and we stick to a common cause, and everybody contributes something. I mean, we all have time, talent, and treasures. We all have something we can bring to the table. It's not going to look the same for each person, but if everybody chips in, man, the things that we can get done as citizens, as, I mean, you and I, we're moms, you know, it's like, it's amazing what we can get done when we just put our minds to it and just keep after it.
Oh yeah. And you know, I guess we can end on that. It's like yesterday I was talking to someone else, like in politics and stuff. And I said, you know, all I can do is just give my tiny bit, which I feel like is so insignificant, but then just be like, we all have our own effort we put in. And then I just, God will multiply it as he sees fit. Cause you're Catholic, right?
Yep. Yep.
And so I was doing my prayer time. And I thought, I'll just look up the readings for today. And so I was looking up the readings, and lo and behold, it's all about Jesus multiplying, you know, the few loaves and fish for thousands of people. And I thought, whoa, that is insane. Yeah. In the same day. And I thought, every time I get so discouraged, like, I don't know if I'm even making a difference. And then these little things come up, like God is like, keep going. I do what I ask you to do. And he will multiply it. And then, like you were saying, you guys got this done with hardly any money. Obviously, even compared to all the pipeline companies and how much millions they've put into this. And you guys kicked butt.
They spent, you know, $3 million. Poet alone contributed $1 million to this fight to basically disparage the farmers that they serve. We spent $200,000, and our donations came from 700 families. We did pie auctions. One pie auction raised $10,000. We thought, like, wow, you know, and that's probably the biggest thing. I'm glad you brought up faith, because God is so good by every metric. I mean, this pipeline Summit has been laying the groundwork for this for a long time. By every measure, they had the politicians in place. They were going to get the laws in place. They had all the money. This pipeline should be in the ground already, but I truly believe it's God's divine intervention that gives people the strength to keep going in a fight that at times is really inhumane to the families that are impacted. I could tell you stories for days about the impacted families and how it's just changed their lives, impacted their physical health, emotional, all of it. But somehow, some way, God moves mountains. And for that, and two, I've seen faith really at the center of this fight too. It's God is, he probably doesn't care about carbon pipeline so much, but he's using this stupid carbon pipeline for his good to bring people closer to him. I mean, I'm serious.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. It's like, it's turning our hearts back to him. Cause it's like, we are in an impossible position. And so every time I'm thinking, this is kind of biblical because we shouldn't have won this.
Right.
And that's always how it goes in the Bible. God always chooses the underdog to where it's impossible wins, and he just does it.
Yep.
And that's so
after the election, I didn't have the words. Like, I was kind of still in shock. I couldn't believe it that we had that victory. And all I could think of was to share a David and Goliath picture because I was like, this is what it is. It really is what it is. And a win for the little people. Kind of nice.
Oh yeah. I think it's cool. And it's like, I read in the book, The Imitation of Christ, this one part where it said that God is going to allow you to get into positions or situations where you have to fight because he wants you to win. And I thought, holy cow, that is so cool. Like, he wants you to fight. He wants you to get up there and he wants you to win. And he gave it to us. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And I just see it all, Well, and in the end, it turned our hearts to him. So
it was the week of the election. I think you had sent me that. And I was convinced we were going to lose because they were attacking us. So, I was just not in a good headspace, but you sent me that. And I was like, oh yeah. Like, trust God's plan. Like, if we don't got it, he's got it. And whatever happens, it's in his hands for his good. And I just have to trust. You have to show up. You have to answer the call. You've got to pick up your cross and be willing to suffer. But he has good intentions for us. I truly believe and know that. And I guess probably the best way to close this is just, I would ask people to continue to pray for this fight, for the many fights coming in 2025, because we can't do this without him. We just can't.
Oh yeah, we can't. And I mean, people have said that they're like, South Dakota is going to be the state that changes the nation. Like, as South Dakota goes, so goes the nation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're just little old South Dakota. And I thought, well, again, that makes sense because that's how God works, right?
Yep.
He's just the little forgotten ones.
No pressure.
No pressure. But I thought, but that is so cool because we're seeing the real heart of South Dakota right now. I just think it is so neat to see unfold. But that does come with the challenge. It's like, if you can't do anything else, pray and pray hard and pray for the legislators. Big time, because they are obviously under a ton of pressure from so many directions, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they're not inherently evil. I'm sure some will think that, like, Mortensen and Crabtree, like, they've got a lot of converting they need to do right now. But it's like Hansen, Carr, and all these other people we worked so hard to get in there. It's like, pray for them, because they are just human and they have faults and prone to temptations like the rest of us. So just pray hard for them, encourage them, support them, be honest with them and communicate, but be encouraging, build them up,
And I do think there's some scales over people's eyes and peers. So I my constant prayer is like, pray for those scales to be lifted that they can see, pray for their hearts to be softened, pray for the Lord to plant a seed of, what they need to do to be good servant leaders. The Lord can do a lot of amazing things and even people that you would never expect. And but especially the good ones that are on our side, pray for them to stick to their resolve and to withstand, like you said, the pressures, because it's immense from so many directions. And
Oh man, next year is going to be amazing. I can't wait.
Well, that's good. We had a good show then. When you can end it on, it's going to be awesome.
I think it's going to be great. I mean, if we're just coming at it from God's got this, he's given us all these victories, why would he just let us lose after this? I'm like, that doesn't make sense. We're just going to be, it's going to be a great year. So
that's
just kind of what I'm thinking. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but it's better than being a doomsday person all the time. So
that's right. Well, be cautious, be skeptical, sure, but have faith like David. Pick up the stone. You got to be willing. So
exactly. Yeah. Oh, awesome. Well, I really enjoyed talking with you. So
yes, let's do it again sometime. This was so fun.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, amandaradke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the Heart of Rural America.